Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
All right, welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Derek Piper at Enterprise Center, where Illinois just had its worst bragging performance ever. And probably Brad Underwood just had his worst regular season, most disappointing, most discouraging game as an Illinois coach. As Illinois gets romped in this one, the score was actually closer than it felt. 93-71. Mizzou puts up 93 points. And Derek Piper,
I come back.
You said there are issues with this team. There certainly are issues with this team right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And dysfunctional at both ends of the floor and really just got dominated by a Mizzou team that obviously has some momentum rolling, and Dennis Gates is doing a good job with this squad. And they got an older group, and they're aggressive. They like to get up and down. And offensively, they were hitting on all cylinders. But Illinois just had terrible breakdowns. And I think that there are obviously – two ways to really break it down in terms of just the chemistry and kind of the vibe amongst the team and ability to battle through adversity and to be able to flip the switch when things aren't going that well. And then there's kind of the schematic side of it and the X's and O's and cleaning some of that up. And the problem for Illinois right now is they got both that they need to address and be able to figure out, because we'll get into it, but Illinois offensively in the half court's a train wreck. I mean, they're not running anything. The possessions are a lot of ISO based, and you just pretty much have a lot of standing around whoever has the ball, and you're chucking threes, and you didn't get in the lane and break down Missouri. You didn't put enough pressure on the rim, and you just go on these long scoring droughts, and that's been a theme. And you've just seen a team in general on the whole that has these wild swings. Well, we've seen the side of it where you get down in a huge hole and you can come back, and like you did against UCLA, Texas, even Maryland to make it a game. Penn State and Missouri, just you got down and you got blasted. And that's concerning. And those teams aren't world beaters. Not to take too much away from them. They're decent squads. But another bragging rights. It's kind of a familiar sight in that Illinois gets popped in the mouth in this game and will go over Christmas and have a bad taste in their mouth and a lot to figure out. But this was to epic proportions, because this is the largest loss Illinois has ever taken in the bragging rights game. And one of the most, relative to expectations, one of the worst performances probably we've covered since we've been beat.
Yeah, listen, the NCAA tournament games are, you know, second-round losses are more disappointing, obviously, in the grand scheme of things. But this is a game where it felt like the team unraveled, felt like there was no toughness. And then, as you said, Derek, like we talked about, the chemistry seems to be an issue. There seem to be some team issues here that we've addressed in the past, right? I think those things are real. With a new team, freshmen are struggling. It's a team that obviously has not played a lot together, has not faced a lot of adversity together. That's part of this transfer portal era. But you just saw a Missouri team that's an old team that seemed to be pretty together for this one. But let's dive more into these actual on-the-court issues. You brought up offensively, Derek. They have 19 assists the last two games. They are not moving the ball. You were basically trying to ask in the press conference, what are you trying to run? And what is the issue of it? This is a team that just is not moving the ball. They can't collapse a defense. They're not shooting well outside of Matthew Meyer. Meyer was 4 of 8 from three today. The rest of the team at one point was 0 for 14. Then of course they finished 3 for 23. RJ Melendez is a non-factor offensively. Dane Danger hasn't scored in double digits since the fourth game of the season. He had 9 and 6 tonight, but he's not been very good defensively. Jaden Epps had a good second half, not a good first half. Sky Clark, scoreless. RJ Melendez, whether it's injury or whatever it is, not scoring in two straight games is just can't happen. And we'll get into Coleman Hawkins maybe a little bit later, but he is a mess right now. 11 turnovers the last two games. He is not looking to shoot, and he's just trying to drive the ball, which he's not very good at. He's so important to them, Derek. But can you answer the question, Derek? Like, what are they trying to do offensively, and how does Brad Underwood fix this?
Well, I'll go back to what Coleman told us at Big Ten Media Days, and he called it structured randomness, which is what they were trying to achieve. Is it's just kind of not have too many constraints within the offense of too much structure, too much we have to, you know, make this pass, we got to make this screen. Brad has wanted this offense to be a lot of read and react and play off each other and allow some things to just kind of happens spontaneously with a drive for Terrence Shannon, who obviously can beat a lot of people off the dribble. And when the defense collapses, you get a kick out, and that could be a three or an extra pass. And the problem is the one play that this team tries to then make, it if it doesn't lead to a score, it stagnates. I mean, they run some screening action, and they run one screen and a shot doesn't come of it. And all of a sudden it's one guy pounding the rock and four guys watching them. And that's the problem. And I think that Brad has tried to fix that, but during finals week, he introduced some spread and they tried to install a little bit of that, which they ran for a few possessions against Alabama A&M and a few times tonight. But as we even saw with Brad's teams that have struggled with that, like, it's hard to run that offense, which needs pace, needs great ball movement, needs cohesion of guys that know where they're going to be, you know, have counters when opponents overplay something. And to do that like a week or two is really hard to do. And I think just in general, the five out with just doesn't have – it's not in sync. And it doesn't have real continuous action. You try to do one thing, and then it just stagnates, and it turns into isolation. It turns into a guy like, okay, I guess I got to go get mine now. And it just seems like there's a lot of times where Matthew Meyer and Shannon, who both can go get their own. Both are very gifted offensive players and can play in ISOs. They end up having to take these pull-up threes and tough contested shots. And I think in general, you're not seeing enough getting to the rim, not enough attacking off the bounce. I think that Sky leaves a decent amount to be desired, not to just single him out, because obviously there's more wrong than one player, but he had a tough night tonight. I know defensively it was a big thing, but he hasn't been able as a point guard to consistently get in the lane and break things down. Coleman has just been reckless, downright just like losing the ball. I mean, we were talking about in the post game, and it kind of seems like Curbelo a little bit, like Curbelo in the feast or famine with Coleman. Like when he's good, he's really darn good. But when he's not, it's destructive. And I think that he's getting down on himself and just can't pull himself out of it. And RJ with the shoulder, I don't know, based on his shooting numbers, knowing how good of a shooter he is, he just must not be right.
No.
And, I mean, just going down the list, Jaden, that's a lot to ask out of a freshman, similar to Sky, can just have some inconsistencies. And then you throw, like, Ty in the mix and Sincere, and those guys just aren't offensive threats a whole lot at this point. And Dane, you can throw it into the post with him, but – you're going to sacrifice some things defensively, which we've seen. He can't guard the perimeter. You can put him in when he plays drop coverage. Guards can get shots off of that. And there needs to be maybe more structure. Maybe Brad has to force some more structure on this team. And there just has to be able to be like a series of, okay, we make this play and then we're going to do this. Because when you watch, I would watch Kansas and Illinois, you know, had a scrimmage against each other, and from what we heard, it was pretty evenly matched. Maybe even Illinois outplayed them some, but I mean, the stark contrast in how Kansas was able to just dice this Missouri defense, where they could drive, they had cuts, they had ball movement. It was all crisp, and they just dissected Missouri, where Illinois, it was maybe they'll have a screen, and then they'll kind of stand there, and then they might turn it over. They're just going to take a pull-up three, and this is a team right now, the last three games, 21 of 81 from three, that's 26%. I mean, it's not good for a five-out offense to not be shooting the three is a problem.
Yeah, it feels like Terrence Shannon and Matthew Meyer are the only two consistent things there. Jaden Epps up and down, you know, had a good second half here. But, you know, point guard play, they're going through growing pains. And this is what you knew. You've written about it, Derek, in the offseason. At some point, this is probably going to hurt that you play these freshmen. You're hoping by March – it helps. And that's what I think this entire group is figuring out, listen, we know what their ceiling is. They can beat two top KenPom teams. Nobody else in the country has done that, right? So we know what the ceiling is, but the floor is really low. That this team can unravel like this. And let's be honest, in those big wins, they had moments where they unraveled before coming back. But we just haven't seen them have that camaraderie, you know, cohesiveness on or off the court right now to figure this all out. So they got to figure it out. And defensively, Derek, it's weird. They scored 71 points because the second half they were able to score a little bit, but they only had 27 in the first half. But defense, boy, I'm going to look for it here. Missouri had 1.4 points per possession. This team we knew would probably have some offensive struggles. They should be really good defensively. We've seen them be really good defensively, but this is now Penn State, Maryland, now Missouri, right, where they have looked awful defensively. So what is going so wrong on that end? And is it time to change the defense approach of switching, because there's so many busts in this? There are so many bad matchups. You wrote about it last week, Derek. And Underwood seemed to hint maybe it is time that we rethink some things here.
Yeah, as far as the switching goes, it just gets frustrating. I think if you're a fan watching it and continue to see teams exploit those switches and attack them as easily as they have, I think there's a lot of times where Illinois switches where they just don't need to. Like they can be in a mode of, yeah, we want to switch when it's necessary. But I understand, like, to be selective in that, like in the split second of a moment, is going to take time to be able to be on the same page with a team. But to see, Penn State was able to do with Jalen Pickett. All they had to do was run a little rub action, and all of a sudden, there's the matchup they wanted. It was Sky or Jaden on Jalen Pickett. Go post him up, work the shot clock, and find exactly what your offense is looking for. So I think that there were times where Kobe Brown, and I saw early in the game, I wondered how much Dennis Gates was going to watch that film, see Dante Scott.
Brad. I'm going to play Brad here in a little bit. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, you see Dante Scott get those matchups that he wanted. See Jalen Pickett do it. And Kobe Brown, who had a career night, 31 points. There were times where he got the matchup with Sky and just could bully him to the basket. And that's not the only thing. I don't think that in terms of bad matchups, Illinois just had some really terrible communication where the two guys would follow one and one would be wide open. And those are just busted coverages, busted switches. So for a team that's been running this switch everything defense for now almost 2 months, there's just so many breakdowns and errors that are happening within it, and you're just giving teams easy baskets. So I think that you got to be able to, the simplest thing as far as schematics is guard your guy. Like that's got to be like the simplest thing in basketball, is just say, this is my matchup, I'm just going to guard him and do everything I can to stay in front of him and all that. And when you throw in the switching, it sometimes just overcomplicates something that shouldn't be as hard as it really is. And transition defense is awful. That's kind of the theme that also goes across those losses, is like Penn State just completely got great looks from three, were able to blitz you and push the ball and really take your mistakes offensively and turn them into points the other way. And I think that Missouri tonight, 33 points off of turnovers, like to be able to take Illinois' turnovers and then just all of a sudden go down the other way and push the ball, and Illinois not getting back, not getting matched up. They've just been really poor in stopping the ball and getting matched up on the fly and contesting threes. Like, there's been way too many wide open threes. And I think, you know, Missouri and Penn State both in a similar category of teams that, number one, play a small ball five. Number two, all five guys can space the floor and shoot it. Mm-hmm. And with Illinois having to get out and contest a lot of guys on the perimeter and space you out and let, you know, the lane be open for cutting, they've just gotten diced up by both those teams.
Isn't that – I thought this team was supposed to be good at that, though. Like, I thought they were supposed to be good against these teams. Like, remember all these Kofi years of playing drop coverage, guys like E.J. Liddell, and, you know, these small ball fives would really hurt you. It's still hurting you, and it feels like it's hurting you more right now. I mean, Penn State, I'd almost say like Jalen Pickett was their small ball five, right? Kobe Brown had his career game tonight, 31 points, 8 assists. Dante Scott, who's always been an Illinois killer, you thought you might have a better chance against him, with the group you have now, Derek, and he tore you up, both as a shooter, scorer, and, you know, as a passer. I can't put those two and two together, because I just thought this personnel would be far better against it.
Yeah, absolutely. You should be able to, with Coleman, guard against those type of front court pieces that can stretch you out. And like you mentioned, EJ is the perfect example, and we've seen some other ones. And I think that's why, how many times did we watch Adante Scott be up against a 6'3 guard DeMonte and just be like, imagine a world where Illinois didn't have to play this way, where they didn't have to play a four who's only 6'3. Well, now Illinois has the positional size. They've got a lot of, you know, outside of their point guard, they've got size all around the court, but then they're willingly switching into the mismatches that are just essentially the same. Like to have Kobe Brown on Sky Clark, or to have Dante Scott on him, or Jaden Epps, like, and knowing if you were to flip on Penn State's film and what they want to do, they want to play through Pickett in the paint, and to just allow them to get that, like you're letting them get what they want matchup wise based on your switching, because it's so predictable. I think that it's fair. And some people, I think, are pointing to offensively as far as like having a pivot, having something within a game to do something different that the opponent's not necessarily expecting. I think you can point it on at both sides, but for a team that's supposed to be so versatile and dynamic, in particular defensively, some of that is you should be able to guard things differently and throw some coverages at people that they don't expect. Yeah. And I don't think Illinois is surprising anybody right now, and they're not executing what they're supposed to be doing. And one other note, just in terms of like the five out stuff, like Penn State and Missouri is running the type of offense that Illinois is supposed to be running. They're supposed to be spacing you out, stressing you with guys, five guys who can dribble, pass, and shoot. And then you got open lanes for cutters. You got just the way the ball's supposed to pop around.
Yeah,
that's exactly what Illinois is supposed to be doing. But they're seeing it on the other side in terms of just those teams put on a clinic against them.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, and I think a key to that is your five is playing bad basketball right now. Listen, Coleman Hawkins, when Illinois is good, he's a huge reason. I even asked Brad Underwood, like, he, when you're playing well, it seems like he connects everything, both offensively and defensively. And I don't think it's a stretch to think that one of the big reasons they're struggling right now is because the guy who connects everything is just, he seems lost out there right now, whether it's confidence or just not feeling great about what's going on. Like Coleman today, just offensively, Derek, got the ball stolen from him. He's not tough with the ball right now. He's never been good dribbling off the bounce and creating, and Brad Underwood certainly doesn't want him to do much of that right now. He basically said in the post game, but he's not even looking at the rim. You know, he shot five threes tonight, but it felt like he forced, you know, some of those up in the second half. When he's around the rim, he's not even trying to finish around there. And then just the turnovers are just backbreakers. I mean, they scored off of basically every Coleman Hawkins turnover tonight, 11 turnovers in the last two games. How do they get him right, Derek? Because they need him right. He is so important to what they do.
It's a great question. I mean, it's something you're going to have to search for over this Christmas break and try to hope that a little bit of a mental reset can help him and try to help him forget some of these struggles and just get his confidence back. And I know that the way the schedule sets up, you get Bethune-Cookman, you get a good amount of practice time, and then you're going to play Northwestern. So You hope that just kind of the favorable opponents and the practice time and a little bit of a reset, maybe go home and see the family for a little bit, can help him do a little bit of soul searching and just try to hit the reset button. But maybe try to get it to where he's not doing too much off the dribble and try to play a little bit more through Shannon. But I just think that Coleman's got to be willing to shoot the ball. And while there's a confidence in him from a playmaking standpoint, because he'll take some gambles, he'll take some risk with his passing that are a little too much sometimes. But with his shooting, like you said, it whether he's just going to get you know a drop off or fed the ball around the basket, or he gets an offensive rebound. I've seen a couple of times where he gets an offensive rebound, he's right under the basket and he doesn't want to go up. Like yeah. It's kind of like the. You think of the Ben Simmons play at the very end of his Sixers tenure where he's standing right there, and because of the struggles, he just doesn't want to shoot it.
Yeah, I brought that up with you. I hate saying it because, listen, this kid – I understand everyone's like, Illinois doesn't have a first-round pick. That might end up being true, but there's a reason Jonathan Givony and some of these people have had Coleman Hawkins and Terrence Shannon there. They have certainly not played like that lately, but that's what's so mind-boggling is just a few weeks ago we're seeing these guys play. Like they're going to be first round picks. And then, and you could say it in the entire team, Derek, like this team looked like a Final Four contender at certain points. They've looked like they've had first round picks, and then they can look like this. They can look like they did against Alabama A&M, which was bad despite a 21 point win. They can look like they did against Penn State, which was get run off your home court by a team that maybe at best is middle of the pack in the Big Ten. Like, That's a lot that Brad Underwood's got to figure out, because there's way too much variance going on with this team right now for so many different reasons. But there's still that hope that this team can figure it out at some point, because there is so much talent. There is two top 10 KenPom wins here.
Yeah, it's wild. And I told you, you mentioned the Ben Simmons example for Coleman. And I think maybe just simplify for him. I just think that – I know he's a guy that watches the Warriors a lot, and you're just starting to see some plays where he gets a little too fancy. Like he's using one hand to deliver a pass instead of two, or he's late clock, he's doing this little step back and fade away instead of just taking a normal jump shot. And I wouldn't want to take away his creativity, and I think the style of play that he has in his mind ultimately for, you know, the Warriors type of synergy and cohesion and cutting offense and just getting on the same page as him, as like that point five, essentially, it still makes sense. But I think he's got to simplify the game. I think he's got to get back to being confident and scoring the ball. And it's not just hoisting threes either. It's taking 8 to 10 footers. It's being willing to go up and try to draw some contact. I mean, I don't know what his free throw numbers are here over the last course of games, but he had one free throw attempt tonight. Like, for a guy that's 6'10" and a decent athlete, like why not be aggressive and go to the basket and try to, you know, get some contact? But yeah, big picture, it's weird to see this team beat Texas, beat UCLA. We were out there in Vegas, almost beat Virginia. Like you were up with 3 minutes to go against Virginia, and be like, wow, the way that they have not fully clicked, but the way that they had been ahead of schedule. And that they were in this mode to get these wins like this and just not look like a team that was having to piece it together. And not to say that we were completely blind to, yeah, they won't take any lumps the rest of the year or anything like that. But then now to have the bottom fall out is just it's weird to watch the inverse of what you would think. You'd think
it's jarring. It's jarring to go from beating Texas to looking like crap. For four straight games, basically. I mean, four of the last five, because Maryland, you didn't look good, and then you beat Texas, and then you haven't looked good for three straight games. Like, that's really jarring, I'm sure, for the entire fan base right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes also beyond – I get why Brad is – I mean, he talked a good amount about schematically, like being willing to evaluate everything, willing to look at the offense, but also when you have that performance against Penn State – and you just look kind of lifeless out there. And then you have the second half against Alabama A&M and you let them go on a 16-0 run and you just kind of look demoralized and lost. And you don't have someone really like stepping up to lift the team. And then you come into tonight knowing, I mean, I know that a lot of guys haven't been in this battle, really on both sides, but you'd have to think that Brad is mentioning, like, this is an emotional, gritty, you better bring it or you're going to get popped in this game. And the warning signs have been there. And yet, beyond just kind of like schematics or even just kind of execution, this team didn't fight. This team, like Missouri, there were times where, you know, they'd go to the rim and miss a layup, but they got the offensive rebound. They missed free throws. They got the second chance opportunity. They just out hustled. They out tough. They just were more of the aggressor while Illinois was just kind of there. They were just kind of there.
There was one play late in the second half where it was a questionable call by the refs on the sideline, and Missouri got the ball sideline out of bounds, and Coleman Hawkins just got beat down the court. The Sidney Brown looking fella just beat him down. Like, yeah. How does that happen? Like that stuff. And I'm not just, there was plenty of those. There were other guys where they just get beat. That was really disappointing to see. If you're Brad Underwood, if you're an Illinois fan, all of it. I do want to, Brad Underwood, we can play a little clip here, 30-second clip of Brad Underwood talking about where his team is at right now.
Well, I'm leading. I'm going to lead. There's no doubt. They need it. They need my help. And I haven't been very good. I've got to do a better job. And, you know, I've got to get us out of this. I've got to get us tougher. I have to get us tougher. If we aren't tougher, we're not going to win. We have to be tougher and more disciplined. You can't win at the college game without toughness. Soft teams don't ever win. And I've not been good at that.
He pointed the thumb a lot in that post-game press conference, and I think it's necessary, Derek. This is not unexpected in that we thought this team would be pretty inconsistent. We talked about that. I thought this game could be tough. I thought Penn State could be tough because they're old teams. You know, Missouri hasn't been together, but they've been with Dennis Gates, some of these guys. And it's just a toughness game. And I've kind of questioned that with this team at times. And when you have a young team and then also a bunch of newcomers that have to gel together, it can be a recipe for disaster, even if the talent can overcome some of those things at some times. Brad Underwood's got some things to figure out about this team. And whatever he's doing to this point, the last 2-3 weeks, is not landing. It's not working. Whether it's feels like, it just feels like nothing he's doing right now is resonating.
Yeah, and I mean tonight to take all the blame was kind of the only other button to really push. Like as far as
he's running out of options in post game press conferences.
Yeah, and he comes out and he calls out the leadership for the Penn State game. Like, I fully understand it. Like, I understand why he did that and why, as far as what seemed to be a trap that Illinois could fall into, they took the bait and went into it. As you win, you beat number two and you get a little full of yourself and you come back home and you're not ready for a Penn State team that's a league game at home in front of a sold-out crowd and you lay an egg. And then Alabama A&M, we had the Matthew Meyer comments, and now, yeah, it does fall on Brad to make it work. And it's we've had parallels to this. He's said some of the same phrases and hit on some of the same things at this very podium, like for a number of years. He's 2-4 in this game.
Brad's bad in this game. Could you say it? Like his teams have gotten punched in the mouth several times. He's now 2-4. He's lost 4 of the last 5, and the last 4 teams have been ridiculously talented, and you've lost 3 of those.
Right.
Now, so I remember his first or second year was he's like, this is just another game. That didn't work. No. You know, now he's got Chester Frazier on board, who just lost his first bragging rights game as a member of the Illinois basketball program. Feels like he cared more than anyone in this game today. Like, this place has been terrible. Like, the ice is cold, but Brad Underwood's record is pretty dang cold in this game too.
Yeah, definitely. And Missouri still had, like I said, the added intensity, that toughness that Illinois lacked. And while it is hard to have the same level of what you'd expect when you got Trent Frazier in that locker room and you got DeMonte, I mean, Matthew Meyer has been on a pretty darn gritty and tough Baylor team that won the national title. I mean, he should know some of what that takes to get it done. Terrence Shannon, been to a Sweet 16 at Texas Tech. Now, were those guys leaders? Were those guys that were looked upon in that locker room? And have they been the guys? No. But even for like Coleman and RJ, I know Luke's not out there and you're kind of missing maybe his voice. Those guys should know a little bit better and be able to step into that role and be able to help some freshmen out that haven't been there before. So, I mean, Missouri's not like they had, you know, a roster full of guys that have been in three bragging rights games. Like they had dudes from Cleveland State and Clemson, and yeah, Kobe Brown has been here, but this team was ready to fight, and Illinois really wasn't. And I think that's kind of where the toughness part of it, the being able to who's stepping up when adversity hits is part of the chemistry that just seems off. And for Matthew Meyer after the Alabama A&M game to come out and say, I didn't like that we practiced hard going into that game. And then it was on the heels of Penn State where your effort was lacking. And then your effort was lacking tonight. And that's not what you want to hear. That's not what you want to hear out of a guy that's supposed to know what it takes to win.
And you know, some people said that was nothing, that there's nothing to that. And some of the players came out and quote, like,
yeah,
show it on the court. Like, that's the yeah. whole point is like, it's those things that are being said is coinciding with what is happening on the court. So to say that stuff was nothing was wrong. Right. And we're seeing that again today is like there are issues with this team. And it's what is said to us is some of that. But like we see it on the court. There's yep. there's not a lot of chemistry and cohesion of what is happening on the court, and whatever the coaches are trying to get through to their players, it's not working. So, yes, Derek, this is a huge checkpoint for this team. This is a huge crossroads for this team, because Brad Underwood has found a way. In previous years, we've had this conversation every year, the Brad Underwood era, it seems yep. like, and they found a way out. But you had Trent Frazier, you had Io DeSumo, you had Kofi Coburn, you had Demonte Williams for that, of course, Io DeSumo. Is Terrence Shannon enough to get you through this? Can Coleman Hawkins figure it out? Can RJ Melendez get healthy and get right? Can the freshman point guards start to look more like sophomores? Those are huge questions ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And can Matthew Meyer be that guy that, I mean, there's the feeling of whether he's going to continue to push back on what's different about Illinois versus Baylor, what's different about Brad Underwood versus Scott Drew. Can he fully embrace what it is here at Illinois, what Illinois needs out of him? Because it can't just be Terrence. I mean, if Terrence is the only veteran that's really going to be that leader, you know, Terrence said today that he hasn't done enough. I found it really interesting. And again, we don't know everything behind the scenes. We don't know what goes on in the locker room. But I thought it was an interesting moment right before the second half started. The team gathered together, and Sincere Harris and Brandon Lieb were the two guys that talked the most during that huddle. And it said to me, like, that's not good.
No,
I mean, for
because one guy doesn't play and one guy can't play right now.
Right, right. And Sincere.
No, Sincere. You said Sincere. I was thinking Luke Goody. Sorry.
Right. Sincere will battle, and Sincere's been out there. But yeah, Brandon doesn't play. And again, it's just one anecdote, but they're continuing to add up here for a team that just has a feeling of lacking leadership, chemistry's off. And yeah. even Coleman has been tabbed by Brad a lot as this guy needs to be a leader, but it seems when things go sideways for Coleman, he kind of checks out, or he just can't get out of a funk. Like he hangs his head and just lets those things compound when he's supposed to be able to elevate other guys. And I think you mentioned it there, like in terms of the growth points for this team, that the question's always been there, would freshman point guards hold you back ultimately? And we're seeing some of that right now early in the season. And the question is still going to be there. You get in March, even if we see some signs out of the sky and Jaden of being more consistent in Big Ten play, you're always going to wonder what on the biggest of stages when your season's on the line, will having your two options at point guard be true freshmen, will that kill you? It could. Sky tonight was rough.
Like, it was rough. Like it was really rough, especially defensively. And then he has 0 points. You need more. I know he's a freshman, but he's a good freshman. Like, he's a talented freshman. You need more from him.
Right. And I mentioned he's got to get in the lane a little bit more. Is he a good spot-up three-point shooter? Yeah. And defensively, yeah, he's got to be better. And look, there are tough tests for him when he gets switched, but he just had breakdowns. He got beat on back cuts. He was someone that Mizzou obviously had pinpointed and said, we want to go at him, and they had way too much success. Jaden, we've seen what he's able to do when he's been good, like in the Texas game, but then he turned around and against Penn State and Alabama A&M, he went like 3 for 11 combined from the field, had some turnover issues. So Illinois' point guard play to complement some of the other veterans isn't helping things, but obviously those guys can make things easier on them as well. And this isn't going to be – and kind of big picture, this team's already done enough to where I don't think they're going to be Michigan of last year, because right. Michigan of last year – I mean, you'd love to get to the second weekend and check that box at the very least.
Michigan of this year.
Yeah, Michigan, they're not going to be Michigan of this year either. But, like, that Michigan team never really – click, never had their moment, never had anything signature win wise as far as like their non-con. Maybe some of the adversity now that's hit in December is comparable, but like last year Michigan, last year Texas had a bunch of talent, were like tabbed the winners of the portal, never really like fully hit their stride. That's the hurdle that faces Brett Underwood, where you can have on paper just a glowing roster, a great freshman class, some awesome transfers, even some good returners, but to gel it all together, to find a scheme that fits, to have the buy-in, that's the big challenge that is different for him now, because he doesn't have some of those names that you've rattled off.
It's the challenge of the portal era, right? Yeah, you mean, like, that's the challenge of when you have a portal team, freshman team, 9 newcomers. It's really difficult, but he's got to figure it out, because, boy, it can be good. We've seen it. Boy, it can be good, but boy, it can be bad. And right now, they're in a bad spot. They get a week off, Derek. They go home for the holidays, which can always be a little interesting. See who you hear from, what they say to you. But they come back. You get Bethune-Cookman. Then you head on the road to start Big Ten play here, which it doesn't get any easier. Like, I don't know if anybody in the Big Ten feels good right now, besides Purdue and maybe Wisconsin. But Northwestern's playing decent basketball right now, and that's just a couple weeks away. So how do you think this team responds, Derek, and then we'll get out of here?
I think that Brad Schoen, and on that note, I'm glad you brought it up. Like, I get it. It's a different dynamic with the locker room. It's a different team. But Brad is, number one, he's, like you said, he's been terrible in this game. But he's also used this game as a launching point, as kind of a soul-searching moment, and been able to have good responses. You look back to the – obviously, they won last year, so you throw that out. But the 2020-21 season, they lose in Columbia, and then they win 12 of their next 15. Mm-hmm. And then the year before that, 19-20, they lose a disappointing game where they're the better team on paper by far than Missouri. They lose here in this building, and they win 9 of their next 10. So they've been able to, in the past, use the disappointment, use the lessons from this game for whatever reason. I asked Brad about it as far as, is there anything you can draw upon for those – know, disappointments, but also the turnarounds to be able to find it. I think that he's going to have to try to push those same buttons. This team's too talented ultimately to stay in this mode. And we've seen, like, you can't just, as disappointing as tonight was and the Penn State game was, like, I think the Texas game and UCLA, Virginia performances aren't just going to be erased from your memory. Like, we know that team is capable of it. I think you would wonder, and I understand questioning, like, is this team going to be consistent enough to win the Big Ten? And maybe that's not even really on people's minds right now. Ultimately, it's just about hitting your stride at the right times. There's still plenty of time to do that. Absolutely. I wrote it in my column last weekend, like, you know, making too broad of conclusions about Brad Underwood teams in December, you'd be proven wrong. I still, even after tonight, even after as terrible a performance as it is tonight, I said the same thing. Like, we could say Brad's lost his team. His team's going nowhere. The chemistry sucks. On and on and on and on, which I get it. Some of that's warranted. Mm-hmm. But he's shown time and again that his teams have clicked. So I would still keep that in my mind. And, I think that they can respond well. And while, yeah, Northwestern isn't going to be a walk in the park, when you think about your next road challenges, Northwestern, Minnesota, Nebraska, could be worse as far as the Big Ten starting off when you hit the road.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up some of that history, Derek, before we go. Let's see. In 2020, Brad Underwood's team was 9-5. And then you see that big streak they rattled off as Iowa went kind of nuts, and that kind of turned the program around. 2021, you start off 9-5, right? And you go off that ridiculous streak. They were the hottest team in the country going to the NCAA tournament. And then last year, you know, you have that pretty poor start. The Arizona game was fun, but you found a way to turn that, and obviously you won this Missouri game, so it was a little bit different, but you started 2-2 with all the stuff that was going on with that team, and you found a way to bounce back. Illinois has fallen in the KenPom. They're now number 31 when they were, what, top 12 just a few weeks ago. But they got some opponents, Derek, where they can start to figure something out here. Northwestern, I know it's on a road and they're playing pretty well. You can win that game. Then you're at home against Wisconsin, at Nebraska, home against a Michigan State team that's been banged up, and at Minnesota. Like, before that huge stretch right here, you got a chance, but Brad's got to work some magic here. He has in the past. We'll see if he can do it again. All right, that'll do it for us. It's a late night. Appreciate you guys tuning in the Illini Inquirer podcast here on the live stream. We love doing this with you. Not as much interaction tonight, but we just got to get out of here. It's late and it's cold. But appreciate you guys. Follow us wherever you get your podcast. Give us a rating review. Follow us on YouTube as well. Smash that like button and subscribe button. And check out all the content coming to Illini Inquirer. And everybody have a happy holidays. Derek, thank you, buddy.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
It only takes 2 minutes of sheer horror.
A new Paramount Plus original docuseries.
We were dealing with a serial killer preying on elderly women.
A cold-blooded killer hidden in plain sight.
He's suffocating people with pillows.
Leaving corpses all over Texas.
How did it happen?
I was responsible for her. The guilt is immeasurable.
They covered it up.
Pillowcase Murders, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus.